Welcome to the Fat AZ Muskie Podcast. I'm Andy. I have Todd on the phone. Hi, Todd.
I'm here. Shoot him in the leg, boys.
Just like old times. So, all right. So, if anyone is looking at a calendar, this podcast is coming out the Thursday before the New York show. So, we'll obviously talk a little bit about that, but we'll, we will kind of touch on some of the stuff that happened this past spring, and you know, we'll do a quick catch up, and as the winter progresses, we'll probably get into different stories and fun stuff. So
lots happened in the last year. Lots has happened.
Yeah. So one of the things that's happened, and I want to just get this one out there. I recently heard a rumor. Now, Todd, you already know what this rumor is because we've talked earlier. But okay. I want to set something clear because this is the first I've heard this rumor. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say most of the listeners have known that, you know, since, you know, whatever, the last 8 or 9 years, however long we've been doing this, that I, the AZ, my initials, if you see AZ on a bait, that was a bait that I painted. I recently heard that I was not the person who was painting baits. And I just want to set that clear. If it has an AZ, that was airbrushing by me. If it has a Todd Young on it, I bet you're going to say probably Todd that painted that one. If it has a VK, that was done by Vance. So if you heard anything otherwise, just look at the initials. That was who painted it. Just wanted to get that one out in the open. And, yeah, I just recently heard that. I mean, I don't know. That could have been floating around for years. But anyways, that being said, yeah, where we left off was the Muskie Max of 23.
Wow.
So 11 months ago. I know we did a Christmas gift, Gearman Steve and I, for a show that we wanted to do 5-6 months earlier about our walleye trips. But, I mean, since then, Todd, catch us up on anything you want to be caught up on, you know, catch everyone up on.
Oh, man. I mean, another great year. I'm going to be honest. At first, I didn't miss the meeting up weekly or biweekly to do the podcast, running out of stuff. But as time's gone on here, it's, you know, there's a lot of stories, and I just have so many people telling me when we're out there fishing and stuff. It's like, man, when are you going to start doing it again? When are you guys going to go? You know, that they enjoy, you know, I mean, we did it for how many? 8 years, 7, 8 years.
We started it early July, like July 1, 2, or 3 of 15. So the first week of July in 2015, mm-hmm. and we continued it to March of 23. And I think for the last, you know, whatever, 15 months, it was every other week. So,
yeah, the last bit of it, yeah.
To expand a little more, I don't want to cut you off. You run out of gas when you're telling stories and all that stuff. I mean, I'm glad you brought that up because, like, at a certain point, I'm like, man, everyone, I'm going to tell the listeners what I ate for breakfast.
Yeah, and it you know, Andy, it was fine, like, during season. There was always something we could talk about that happened that week or that, you know, the day before or, but other than that, like going through getting guests on, there's so many people doing podcasts. There's so many, you know, I called friends, a guest, hey, you want to get on? And it was like, I was just, yeah, I'll do it. But I was just on last week with such and such. Oh, okay. Well, I don't want to throw another one out with the same guest that we just had on. But it's been, It was a great year. We'll put it that way. With all the years of us doing it, when something crazy or funny happened in the boat, I would always try to make a mental note. I still write stuff down on paper. It's like, I got to remember, this is something I should talk about on the podcast. And I found myself doing that this summer. We had a really cool figure eight story. We had some really cool stories with first fish. We had some really funny things happen. And I think that's more the route we take is rather than being, you know, totally serious about this, there's some funny stuff happens. And I found myself making these mental notes. And then I was like, oh yeah, well, I don't, you know, we're not doing that anymore. We haven't done that in a while. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, but it's nice to have the recharged batteries. It's just,
yeah,
it's nice. I know people wanted to hear more, but I didn't have much to talk about. So
yeah. Well, you always have a lot of good hunting stories.
Because yeah, I mean that happens, but that doesn't help in May, June, July.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I got some real doozies of just like a what else could go wrong story.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm looking forward to tell some of these because, you know, one thing that I do really enjoy is that, like, you know, if something were to ever happen and like I'm no longer around and the kids are like, I wonder what dad was like. Well, here's a 9-year snapshot of some stuff that he has that's accessible. And I know some people, you know, that we've gotten, they write in, hey, I've listened to everyone, you know, every episode from start to finish. I've listened to him 2 times or 3 times or what have you. And, you know, that's great. I love hearing that stuff. And, you know, we're going to keep on giving you guys some stories. Hopefully it keep you entertained, keep you in the loop with what's going on with AZ.
Andy, have you ever gone back and listened to any of the podcasts?
No, because I think I sound horrible, and I don't want to listen to my own voice.
Anyway, I mean, I have not listened, but I have gone back through the archives there and looked up, like, when did we have such and such on, or when did we do this, or when did this happen?
When did this milestone happen?
Yes, and there's been some good timelines there that I could look back and say, oh, yeah, this, now there it is. It's in the archives. And you know, we did have so much fun, doing them the whole way through.
Yeah. It's not dead. Like I said,
yep.
It's see you later. Not goodbye. It's see you later. So anyways, how was spring fishing, pontooning this year? Oh, and you also did other lakes in PA, not just pontooning.
Oh yeah, I actually didn't spend a whole bunch of time. You know, like I said, when I'm fishing PA, I got 4 or 5 different lakes. I've been fishing these lakes since I was a little kid. I mean, 40 some years ago, I got my driver's license 40 years ago, and we were fishing. And you know, the fish lead me around. The lake that I was fishing a lot last year, I went there a couple times. We had one fish in 2 days. I started fishing some other lakes, and a lot less pressured than Pymatuning. Pymatuning is a great lake. I mean, it's a giant lake, but man, does it get pressure, you know.
Now,
especially
that lake's come on hard in the last 5 years.
Yeah, and it's not only the musky pressure. It is that time of year, that April, May, the walleye are also in there on those, in those same, the same place you're trying to do the musky fishing.
So to speak on that, I was shocked to find out. Now, this isn't new. I mean, they might have changed it. I don't fish pontooning, so it didn't really matter to me. But am I right by saying they don't close the walleye season? Because Ohio does not close their walleye season, so because it's shared with PA.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it, Andy. So Pennsylvania has a closed. It was the same time period muskie season used to be closed. Used to close like in early, like maybe 1st of March. You could not fish for walleye or muskie in Pennsylvania till the first Saturday in May. It was that way the whole time when I was young growing up. They still do it for walleye, but they lifted the muskies. I don't know, how long have you been able to fish year-round in Pennsylvania? 10 years, maybe?
Maybe
more than 10.
Well, it's got to be more than that because AZ's been around for 13, and I was winter fishing probably 15 years ago.
Well, you could winter fish, but they would close it like in early March.
I've only known it for 15 years, no closed season.
Yeah, maybe it's been a lot longer. I mean, that's why I used to go. We used to go to Ohio back in the 90s and stuff. The reason we would go over to Ohio like in March, April, that's the only time I ever fished over there in Ohio. It was back in that time period. We would go over there because we weren't allowed to musky fish here in Pennsylvania. We'd go over there and you can at least, you know, get the boat run and get everything set up until our season opened up the first Saturday in May. But, you know, everyone's trying to fish the same area. And, man, some of them trolling around, I get frustrated over there because you look ahead of you, especially if someone books a day on a Saturday or Sunday. I look ahead because I know my line I got to keep to stay on the break, and you know, you're in pretty tight, and there's, I look down the shoreline, and there's 10 guys sitting there jigging for walleye. The musky fishermen really, you know, you pass each other, one guy gives way, and okay, I'll go out around you this time, but next time coming up, let me stay on the inside. You know, that all happens. But when there's guys sitting there jigging with bobbers, you know, trying to crappie fish, there's just times when it's like, oh my gosh, I'm spending half of my day. I'm not in the zone I want to be in. But there's a lot of other lakes in Pennsylvania that don't have that type of pressure. And yeah, we ended up doing a lot of that. Like I said, the place I fished last year, I hardly even fished it this year. I went to another lake and we started catching fish, and I ended up staying there. We always do some fishing at the Conneaut Lake. I mean, such a beautiful lake to cast, and we got fish up there early. I did about as much as I wanted to do in Pennsylvania early season, and fishing went well.
Now, typically, do you fall into the textbook spring tactics, tiny stuff, you know, relatively speaking, tiny baits and this and that, or you just say they're going to eat an 8-inch bait, they're going to eat a 6-inch bait, they'll eat a, you know, whatever?
I usually start the day, you know, I mean, trolling, I'm using the same baits, but yeah, I mean, I'm using a lot of this. I do use a little bit of the smaller stuff in the spring. A lot of that has to do with the depths I'm trying to reach too. I mean, I'm fishing in 8, 6, 4, 5 feet of water, you know, just, you know, in general, your larger baits are trying to get down a little deeper. You know, guys that put more aggressive lips on them.
They tend to be, yes.
Yeah, they tend to be. I mean, and I have some Wileys that have a real short lip that I can run a, some of my 8-inch Wileys still custom made for me years and years ago. I can run that out there and let 50 feet of line out, and I know it's not going to be down more than 2 feet. But yeah, I mean, I do use baits in the spring that I don't use in the, some of the baits I'm not using that much in the summer and fall. But I've been, just like you said, Andy, I've also done the casting up there at Conneaut Lake, where, you know, you start kind of, oh, let's use a 6-inch Raptor. You know, we use them, whatever action you get. There's usually a few hours in, I'm like, you know, screw this. Let's put this 8-inch softtail on, because the softtail is not going to get me as deep. And I think that's what that, we got some fish on some gliders. We got some fish on the 8-inch softtails. I don't think we caught a muskie on the little bait, you know. That 8-inch bait's not big. That lake has pike in it, you know that. And 24-inch pike are smacking the 8-inch jerk bait. That's not big. I mean, what a lot of people consider big baits are not.
It's all relative.
Yeah. It's not really that big.
Yeah, like for me, I remember winter fishing, snow on the ground. I want to think it was, don't ask me why I remember this, but I want to think it was right around Valentine's Day. This is going back, I don't know, probably at least 12 years ago. The Raptor was out, so it might have been 11. Who cares? I was fishing a little section of French, like only a couple people know where this is. It's way north. And I remember I'm like, I'm just going to keep using my 8-inch Raptor. And I was using an 8-inch Raptor. And the section of French is probably 40 to 50 feet wide. Like, and that's that. And I'm sitting there, you know, and I want to think, I'll tell you what, my memory's starting to, the stuff's starting to mush together. But I know that, like, that day when I was fishing, I caught two pike that were in that probably 26-inch cookie cutter, the normal pike, on an 8-inch Raptor. And it
Do you
was
remember the color?
What's that?
Do you remember the color?
I don't. It might, I don't. I was gonna blurt out bullfrog, but I can't even.
I think I remember. I'm not going to say.
Right. I mean, but
it doesn't matter.
I mean, but this spot, you know, it was just using 8-inch baits. And actually, this was a time that the Stinger came out. So, Todd, do you remember? I might mess this up. We talked about this the other night. When we fished the PMTT, I think it was 2013. Do you remember that?
I don't remember the Darren, we did it one time.
Yeah. What is scary to me is that I've already said this already on this podcast. AZ started making the swimmer in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
We're in 24. That's 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And so this would have been maybe in 14. So this would have been 10 years ago. And yeah. What I'm lining stuff up with this is in 2013, if I'm not mistaken, 12 or 13, we fished Cave Run PMTT. And if you remember, yeah, on the final day, we were like, I'm going to say, we weren't on the flats, but we were kind of down. I'm not even like on the way to Scotts Creek Marina, but not far. I think there's like a bus or something there.
Yeah. I mean, they call it the bus rack. All there is like an axle of the whole thing. But yeah
but that's where we ended like the tournament. We didn't have a single fish.
No.
And we were there, and there was like a little mid-lake hump. And it was right when I was getting the stinger to work. And I had the stinger with some modifications that I did to it that I had to use super glue. Mm-hmm. That was the birth of the stinger, because we got like 20 minutes to go to the tournament ended.
Yep.
And we got smoked.
And we had been trolling, trying to do what I'd had success with, and the water was perfect. Probably the only time I did a tournament there where the water was not, you know, 18 feet high or something. Not that I did every year, but I mean, I did quite a few down there. That was one of the only times, man. We just didn't get it.
We didn't. But I vividly recall this because, like, we had kind of checked out, but we were still like, "Hey, anything could happen." There's 20 minutes left. Where all the other boats are the same. You know, they're kind of sitting there. They might be doing some casting. And I remember this little hump, and I was. It was an unpainted stinger, like the original. It's in the museum.
Yeah,
and I'm working it. And I had a decent follow. I'm like a 40-inch class fish, and I'm like, hey, there's life here. But I remember that because this spot that I'm talking about, you know, whatever, where the pike and the 8-inch baits in the middle of winter come from, I was catching muskies with the stinger in that section of creek, and I hadn't fished it prior to that. So who knows? It might have been 10 years ago, 10, 11 years ago. But
yeah.
Like I said, I have to line up events.
Yeah,
hey, the Raptor was done, and the Stinger was just getting fine-tuned.
Yeah, we spent the whole first, 11, because I would have met you that same year, 11, when we got it going. 12, we got the Raptor going, and we did. The Stinger was at least 13.
It was 13, yep.
We spent the whole first time. We didn't even talk about the glide bait.
Yeah, so in 14 is when that happened, and what was it? So that might have been when you caught that big giant on the Stinger.
It was summer. It was the first. I mean, there was only a couple out there, and you know, you had them weighted a little differently. They only had two hooks.
Yep.
I did get that big, you know, I handed the rod off to a young fella after I hooked it, and the fish hit, and it was one of them. It came up and turned head first, dead flat calm.
Bluebird skies.
Bluebird sky, 12 o'clock, not a ripple. I'd fished with these guys all day the day before. They had no interest in trolling like a lot of people they start that way, you know, no interest. So it's like, okay, let's just keep casting. And I'm watching them cast, and then I start fishing with them a little bit. Literally at 12 noon in the middle of the day, I'm like, I just want these guys to get somebody to get a bite here. And that fish come up and turned head, like it came at me, turned head first, opened his mouth, hit the thing. And when I set the hook, it was, you know, tail was 3-4 feet out of the water above my head, and it hit the water. And I handed the rod off to a young gentleman. I said, here you go, reel this one in, hopefully. And we did get it.
you did get it. And if I recall correctly, that was like the little precursor there, because that night you took another guy out that you said the fish were going bananas.
That was a year there was some crazy, I forget what they called that, the blue
super blue moon or the blood moon or
blue moon or something is what I remember it. But man, yeah. One of the days that, I mean,
Yeah, I just, you're like, there were fish everywhere, and the guy's like, I'm good. Let's go.
He got a 40. He lost like four of them, got a 46. It was a very older guy. I'm sure he's gone now. An older doctor from like Florida. They were there vacationing, and he got like a 46, a great looking fish that was on a Raptor. But I mean, there were fish every cast you took. It was even fishing the lake all the time. It was one of those nights of looking like, where are these fish coming?
I don't want this to end.
Am I this bad? Like the days that we're only getting one or two bites, fish everywhere. Yeah. And big ones. It was, we had an incredible day that day. that was on my old perch. 3 mile perch, we called it back then, Raptor Softail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that bait was hot for a year or two.
Oh, that thing. You ought to see that thing, Andy. It's still hot.
I just remember that color was just like 3 mile, 3 mile, 3 mile.
That's because it was just on the end of the line all the time. That's the same one when we talked about that. I think that was probably maybe 2014 or 15. I remember doing the podcast and just going back to where you started this about big baits, little baits. I know I brought it up that one year, you know, we had 299 fish in the boat or something that year. And the first fish of the season on Chautauqua Lake, I can't remember her name. It was the first muskie she ever caught, but she caught it on that 3 mile. It was 45 or 45 and a half inches. And the last fish of the season in November was on the same bait on the other end of the lake, and it was like a 46 and a half, which was that guy's first fish. That shows you how much I'm changing baits.
Yeah, it bookended your season. It
bookended the season with like 300 in between, and they were both on the same exact lure. Now, you know, the season starts in June, and you go through November, but still, yeah, I use the same things.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess kind of talking about the Raptors, I don't mind bouncing around on these shows. We got a whole bunch packed up. We're going to New York tomorrow, or I might be up Saturday morning. I don't know if I'm coming up tomorrow or not, but you'll have everything set up tomorrow.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I've been doing some last minute assembly, and I still didn't do any packing, but everything's sort of organized. I got tomorrow to do it. Andy has to go to work.
Well, you say it like that, but it's like I don't really have to be up there at noon to set up the booth. And then what?
No.
Yeah, so for me, it's about an hour drive. Man, a little north of an hour, but an hour drive. And it's just one of those, it's like, do I have to rush to get up there? I think what I'm going to do, and it's not final yet, is I'm going to come home, I'm going to eat dinner, I'm going to get cleaned up, I'm going to pack up my stuff. I'll come up, finish setting up the booth with the rod holders and all that other stuff and just get a good feel of everything. And then I might go back to my little camp, sleep.
There you go.
Get up, go there, hang out, do the show. And then I might drive home Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then drive up Sunday. And then...
Well, yeah, I think it's over at 5, so, you know, we're out of there by, you know...
By the time, you know, probably try to get something to eat, and yeah. I could still make it home to my bed. Camp is not fully, like, fully, it's 85% of what I want it to be. I just don't feel like, you know, turning on the hot water tank and doing all that other stuff for a night or two.
Yeah, middle of the winter. Yeah. I'm taking my family's going up, so... we're going to open up my camp, which is right there. However, it's a 2-hour trip for me. So,
doesn't make sense for you to drive home.
No, I'm going to open up my camp and they're going to go up and they're going to hang out at our booth. And, we're going to, make a weekend of it. And, I run back and forth when we're in Pittsburgh because it's an hour.
Yep.
I don't know. Why would I stay? I can get out of there by 5 and get home. And like you said, sleep in your bed. Now, if the weather was terrible, that'd be a different story. And it's really nice weather up there in New York. There's the other years that I planned on doing this. It's like, yeah, we're not staying in camp. The snow is above the door.
Which is this has been a crazy winter.
There's just nothing. Yeah. This is a year we can go up there. We've talked about, we've had our camp now 10 years up there. Our camper, it's a camper at a campground. And, you know, we've talked about, oh, maybe we'll get up and meet people because they'll let you in and they'll open it up year round and go up for New Year's, because we've made a lot of nice friends there and stuff. My wife and daughter love it up there. But, you know, most, we'll put it this way, that hasn't happened, because more often than not, it's like, yeah, we're not going up there and opening up camp for.
No, I mean, I remember, do you remember, we talked on the show, deer season, 22. And like, for me to get to my tree stand, I had to drive the tractor, and even that didn't do very well. It got me there and back, but it was a little sketchy.
Yeah. I walked 0.9 miles to my stand and snow up above my, up to my crotch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but that's happening this year. So
not, I don't even, I mean, I know we just started February, but like, you got to look, you're like, man, how many more weeks can this really be around?
Yeah, days are getting longer.
I've always kind of said that, you know, you get through February, you're through the worst of it. But lately, it's kind of been a really soft middle of winter, and then you get it hard in March. So
we've got some big snows in March. Yeah, yep.
But
around here, yeah, I'm looking forward to, man, we're going to be packed up going to the New York show. I know this is kind of last minute because it's starting, but, you know, painted up. The little wee bit of painting that I do, I played around with some color last year, and we caught a lot of good fish on raptors that painted up. Some colors were not, I mean, they were, I knew they'd work. You know what I mean? It was like kind of imitating some other lures I had, but we painted up and we got some tough shads. I don't think there's going to be any at the show. I mean, you're talking about a bait that you look through Muskie's Inc. Record books, and man, you have to catch a lot of fish, and I catch a lot on them every year. Catch a lot on Bakers. I catch a lot on Wileys. I catch a lot on Boss Shads. I don't want to leave out any of my other friends. I catch a lot on the perch baits, but man, those little tough shads catch fish, and you know, we're going to have some in some colors that I painted up that, they're fish catchers. We'll put it that way. And all those are going to be available in the 6 and the 8 and all of our old jerkbait line. So hopefully we can move them, Andy.
Hopefully, right?
That's what it's about.
Right. Yeah, so it's just coming up quick. Like,
yeah.
It seems as though it doesn't seem like Christmas was over a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like 4 months ago it was the start of hunting season.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like 11 months ago was when we're like, hey, we need a break.
Yeah. We're into February and of 2024. And, you know, when I'm filling out paperwork or whatever, if you're signing something, I still have a hard, it takes me a while.
Yeah, I'm still writing 2020.
Yeah, 2024. I got to think about the year, you know. Oh, it's February 1st, man, 2024? Yeah.
But, yeah, anyways, let's, I got us off track there. So,
yeah.
PA was good. You know, rate your New York season.
Man, New York is this, I mean, it was the same, same story, you know. We had many, many years there of numbers, crazy numbers. I will be the first to admit, a lot of times we struggled for some big fish, but they filtered in. And this is just picking up from the last couple years. I mean, we'll put it this way, there wasn't much pressure. Because the guys weren't catching much, had a lot of days where struggled to get a bite or two. But man, we did catch a lot of really, really nice fish. Now, I will say this: looks bright for the future. I did, you know, we did, you know, when you're casting for the whole, basically the whole month of June, I hardly even set a trolling pole. you're working all over the lake, you're up in the shallows. I mean, it's always been like a you know, you can take a census on what's happening, you know. I saw, you know, we did see and get some of those fish and that, you know, some of those smaller looking fish. There's been a couple of years here where that just wasn't happening. And, you know, we did a podcast with the guys from the hatchery, and I think we know why that happened. You know, they cut the numbers way back. There's natural reproduction in there. A lot of the fish we're catching are naturally reproduced right now. But we had a good year. We got some really nice fish. I'd say the best fishing, I mean, the casting outdid everything. I mean, they did a tournament in June, New York and Pennsylvania. Did a casting or did a tournament. They're calling it like the challenge or whatever. There was like 100, I believe 100, 100 and some people signed up for that one. And then they did another one in July, and every fish. So you could only turn in like your top three. Like if you ended up catching six, you can only turn in your three biggest.
Mm-hmm.
Top three places in both tournaments, every fish came casting. And, you know, I could have predicted that. You know, I mean, you know, a lot of guys are trolling too, obviously, but that's just the way the early season went. This was a good year for me because, you know, every year is different. Some years we can just get them casting all season long. Other years there's just times where it's bad. I got to take these guys casting. Just not seeing fish. They're out in the deeper water. They're out down near the bottom. Time on the water this year per hour that I put in. I mean, the casting way outdid the trolling spread of six baits. Throughout the summer, you know, later in the summer and the fall. I mean, we got fish both ways. But we did get a lot of nice fish this year, and it was the hopefully there's some numbers backing this up, because I've said this a lot of times on the charters. These guys, like most guys, are more happy to get more action. You know, long day to go take a charter and get one bite. You know, two bites, three bites. Those younger fish start taking a little better than they have the last few years, it'll make it a lot more interesting for me. We'll put it that way.
So the thing that's a head scratcher, because what was it, like 15, 16, somewhere around in there? There was like the summer of like you guys were averaging close to three fish or something a day. It was trolling. One year it was casting.
Yes. Yep.
And then you're like, hey, the population collapsed. We're not catching nothing, you know, doom and gloom. And I'm like, when did the fish die?
That's
the thing is, it's like, I look at it, I'm like, well, yeah. Okay, if the ice comes off, you would expect people to be like, look at all these dead muskies, and they're taking pictures everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, well, okay, well, when would it have happened? Okay, well, it's during the spring and summer, whatever, and they're not floating up. It's like, did they get hard to catch, but they're still there?
Yeah. I mean, probably a little bit of both. I mean, back in those, I mean, going up to like eight, even up to 18, man, the numbers were just, numbers were incredible. But I mean, the fish were not as healthy as they are now, which is going back to when we had our podcast and they said, we just saw a lot more disease. We saw a lot more of this. I don't think they all float up. I think a lot of them just sink to the bottom and they're gone. You know, what happened? Yeah, I know what you're saying. So you catch all these 32s and 36, 38, those fish in that lake, it's a rugged winter. It's almost, you know, it's like the Canadian growth rates, you know, these fish, when you get a fish that's 4 foot long up there, as far as everything that I've read and seen, like they're saying that's a 20 year old fish. You know, you go down to Kentucky and, the fish live like 12, 14 years. That's their lifespan, you know. But you talk. So where are those fish? Well, they're not.
I mean, are they in the belly of a turtle? Are they just like, hey, we're over here and no one has stopped to show me a bait yet?
Yeah, there's nowhere they could be on that lake. We couldn't show them a bait. Yeah. Unless they're down, unless they're all sitting out there in the deep hole 70 feet down, because I don't go deep like that for them.
Well,
you know,
we do have a secret weapon for that. You know what those fish are eating down there, right?
Yeah.
They're eating bloodworms.
They're eating bloodworms, jigging them on the bottom. Yep.
Did we, I'm sure we did, but did we ever like give the story of the Chautauqua bloodworm?
It's been, I mean,
okay, let's just do this. Let's just talk about it. So last year we introduced it, and it was kind of a fun thing. And I love the little bait. I fished it, you know, when I fished muskies last year, the few times I did, I had it on there and I was playing around and I was just happy to watch this thing glide and do whatever. And so the Chautauqua bloodworm came from, I'm not going to mention the name who said it, but they said to Todd, and I'm going to speak for Todd on this, that
this many years ago,
yeah, that, you know, Todd, all those muskies are out in that area out there, the deep water. You know what they're feeding on? They're feeding on bloodworms. And yes. Oh, really? Yeah. He goes, from all the leech beds and the septic systems they put under the lake, the bloodworms are there, you know, I guess, eating the human waste. And at the time when you told me this story, that how what this conversation transpired, I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe that's it. And I'm like, and then you're like, how did they, this lake was there before people. Who put a leech bed underneath this lake in 30, 40, 50, 80 feet of water for these, these, what is a bloodworm anyway? Well, I can tell you what one is. It's about 10 inches long, an inch in diameter, and you can find it at our booth.
They're orange, white, and black. I'm looking at them right now, sitting in the bins.
Yep. And that's just been a funny thing, and that's what it has to be, is we got the Chautauqua bloodworm. I've had people get them to jig lake trout out in the Great Lakes, and, you know, other people playing around with whatever, and it's fun, and it's inexpensive compared to all the other musky baits. And but
so it's basically, Andy, explain it a little bit. It's like a 9-inch, I'm going to call it a sluggo.
Yeah, sluggos are a little different, but this is cylindrical, kind of like a hot dog. And we molded in a, I don't want to call it a pipe, but we have molded in a cylindrical cross section down the middle, and we also have a cross hole centered left to right. And you know, so if you wanted a wacky rig it and have it sit there and quiver, you know exactly where the middle is. You're not sitting there ripping the bait. You can also thread the needle. I think last year I said there's like a catheter, and you could put a leader through it, and you can put stinger hooks or whatever you want. I like to call it like a creativity bait. It's a make your own. I know when I was kind of getting into the musky fishing and stuff, the fun things for me to play with were the Red October tubes. Like, how can you not pick up that tube and just be like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this. I'm going to do that. And you don't even have to buy their rigs. Their rigs are nice because they're thought out and designed. But like anyone that likes to tinker, you're like, oh, I'm going to put 7 treble hooks on this or whatever. And, and go and do what you want with it. So it's a good base to let your imagination run wild. What I was doing with them is I have, you know, the jig head that we make that fits them nicely. And I ran like a stinger hook off, like in the middle of it, and I'd cast it out and I would just kind of like softly work it like a jerk bait, because the thing sinks. I just kind of give it like a reverse jerk bait pull. I'd kind of do an angle hook set up almost and just let it boom. Yep. And then I just kind of like let it fall and then hit it again. And you're watching it just do its little worm dance out there. Yep. And like I said, I didn't get much action, but we didn't get much action anywhere on that day anyway. So, so I don't know. That's what we believe a bloodworm looks like, and that's what the muskies eat out in the middle of Chautauqua,
off the bottom of the lake in Chautauqua. Yeah. Yeah, I mean it was fun to tinker with. I made some like like a spinner bait. I through wired it. I stuck a wire down through horizontally. It what is it, Andy? 8-9 inches long?
I think it's 10.
10 inches long. Yeah. So I stuck it through there. You know, put a hook on it. I threaded a hook in the middle. Pulled the end up. Put a spinner blade on the front. I mean, I did some fun stuff with it. But I mean, yeah, we're making them. People are playing with them. I threw them a little bit, played with them. I have a hard time. I have a hard time taking the Raptor off, and
you have a hard time slowing down. Just admit it.
Yeah, I have a hard time like slowing everything down, and I didn't hand them to guys. Here, try this a little bit because I'm still playing with it. We'll put it that way. So, you can do some neat stuff with it.
And the other thing that's really fun, and this was not the purpose of the build. A lot of times in the shows, you'll see a young family walking around, and the kids love to grab onto stuff, and these are really safe. And many times, someone's like, "Hey, can I just get one for the kid?" And yeah, we'll just go. And yeah. you put a smile on my face because that kid's eyes lit up.
It's almost here, just have fun with it.
Right.
Yeah. And you can do that with a bait that, you know.
Yeah, you're not going to do that with a Raptor with three hooks on it. Like, hey, Junior.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Jiggle this in the car seat next to your sister
the whole time
or brother.
Like, don't touch when they come in the booth. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but that's going to be fun. We've got some 6-inch soft tails that we did. Those are kind of, you know, a show only thing that we do. And I'm trying to think what else. As if you guys didn't listen, the Stinger glide bait's no longer in our booth. You're gonna have to track down Vance to find that.
Yep.
So don't come looking for Stingers at our place. Rod holder wise, really nothing new. There's just I don't want to say that everything's been done there, but just about.
How many questions in the last how many years have we been doing that? At least 10.
Yep.
How many questions have you been asked and how many modifications? I mean, I see them sitting there when I come up to do some painting or pick stuff up or do a drop off up in Edinburgh. The modifications and, extension.
The varieties and the modularness.
I don't know what else you could get here. There's always people, though, that want to ask for something that you don't have, I'm sure. They're like, yeah, I can make it.
Right.
But
and
you probably, but you're, we're to the point where, what about doing it this way?
Yeah, I just my eyes and ears are open, but it seems like right now, most of the issues people have, there's solutions out there.
Yeah. And most of them, and I run into it even all the time, you know, when I'm fishing and taking guys out, and they tell me about their boat, they tell me about this, and they see what I'm doing, and I'm like, so you got a boat like this, how about this? How about one that attaches to that rail instead of putting it in the track and then it does nothing. You know what I mean? And usually we have something. I don't know what else somebody would want. We'll put it that way.
I'm all ears. If anyone has a special request, please hit me up.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Tied up about, I don't know, 70 of each of my leaders, the 3-foot, the 1-foot leaders. Usually sell quite a few of them at the show, 3 for $25, or 3 for $12, a mix and match. I got a bunch of them. I got to remember to put them in the box. But, we got a lot of, we'll have a lot of stuff. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. So if you're out and about and you're in the area, you know, please stop by and say hello. It'll be a good time. Weather's going to be nice, so spirits should be high.
Yes. So, yes, yes.
Other than that, do you have anything else you want to add?
I'm good. Muddy Creek Fishing Guides, get a hold of me. Booked your trip. Been taking guys out since, about 96 I start guiding. And been taking guys out, whether it's your bucket list, first fish, or you want to learn how to get some trophies, we'll go out and do your best to get you on some fish.
Very good. And fatazmuskie.com and the store's right there. No baits are on it. And, but you know, the rod holders, are there. I don't know. All my contact information is on the homepage, so feel free. Send me an email, call, or a text. All good. So, all right. With that, I'm going to say, everyone, stay warm, stay safe, and thanks for listening.